If you will open your text to John chapter 14, we'll continue to look at some of these very powerful statements that Jesus made where he tells us about himself. We're several weeks into a series called Jesus on Jesus. And it's important to listen and understand who Jesus is, because if not, we may overhumanize him and we may cheapen his holiness. He is like us, for sure, in our humanity, but he is different from us in the way he acts and in the way he reacts to human circumstance. You with me? So yes, he is like us in our humanity, but he doesn't act and react in a human way. He acts and he reacts in a way that is consistent with the nature and character of God. We started off with his first I am statement, where he says, I am the bread. He says, I'm your spiritual nourishment. That only comes through me. His second one says, I am the light. I shine light on not only your sin, but I also illuminate the path to God. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about the fact that he said, I am the door. I'm the door for the sheep. I protect you from spiritual attack, but I also secure you when you want to run from the flock. And last week, we talked about him being the good shepherd. He said, I love you, and no one loves you like I love you. And today we want to talk about one of the most powerful, but probably the most controversial I am statement that Jesus made. And he made it in John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1 through verse 6. Follow along as I read. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. I need to reread that because I put a question mark in there and there shouldn't be one. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, then I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and if I prepare a place for you, then I will come back and I will take you to be with me that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we really don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Again, one of the most well-known statements Jesus makes, but also one of the most controversial statements that Jesus makes. Not only is he speaking words of comfort and compassion, but he's also speaking words of clarity and words of conviction here. He comforts his followers when he tells them to not let their heart be troubled. But then he goes on to finish the passage out, and he makes some very bold, exclusive claims that I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. In a recent Pew study, an overwhelming majority of Americans continue to believe that there is life after death, that heaven and hell really do exist. 77% of the people in the survey actually believe that they are going to heaven. Ironically, only 0.5% said they believed in going to hell, or said believed that they would go to hell. 0.5% believed that they would go to hell. A California pastor noted that sinners must be optimists at heart, because according to Jesus' statement, there's only one way, there's only one truth, there's only one life, and that is through Jesus Christ. Most people believe that they're going to heaven because they've been a good person, or because they've done good deeds, or because they faithfully attended, or because they've given money, or the list for why they believe they deserve heaven is pretty lengthy. They mix secular and various religious views, and they create their own personal belief system. They come from different sources and books and televisions and movies and conversations with friends. It comes from being woke and following the latest hashtag movements, and more social and cultural pressures seem to indicate that if you go the way we tell you, then you have obtained some sort of righteousness. To obtain or to embrace one particular point of view. is to be intolerant. It can't possibly be that rigid, that narrow. People assume that they can put together a philosophy of life for myself that is just as accurate as anything that's ever been out there before, just as helpful that any particular faith might provide, but there's one problem with that. And the problem is that Jesus is the only way, Jesus is the only truth, and Jesus is the only life. Then that means that I'm not allowed to make my own way. It means that I must follow His path. And we live in a day and in a time and in a culture where that narrow-mindedness and that rigidity is frowned upon. I am not allowed my own truth, according to Scripture. I must embrace the truth. I'm not allowed to live my own life. I am to discover and to decide that real life is found only in Christ. Well, how do I do that? Well, like Jesus always does, He doesn't try to keep things from us. He makes it very clear. He doesn't make it to where we have to guess. Jesus provides a clear path to follow. Jesus says, I am the way. If I do it, you do it. If I don't do it, you don't do it. If I believe it, you believe it. If I don't believe it, you don't believe it. It's a pretty straightforward path. He said, He's the way. Context is important to what Jesus is teaching His disciples. And He's telling them, I'm fixing to leave. I'm fixing to go to heaven, and I'm going to tell you about heaven. And He says that I'm going to prepare a place for those who follow the way. He tells them how to get where He's going. And He tells them how to get to heaven. That's what He's telling His disciples here. He makes it clear that there's a pathway to follow, but there's only one pathway. There is a definite article in front of way, truth, and life. It's the word the. And each of those words that are preceded with that word means that this is exclusive. We don't like this way of thinking. This is intolerant to us. This is intolerant to the culture we live in. The culture we live in wants options. The culture we live in wants variable truths. The culture we live in wants each of us to determine our destiny and each of us to determine how we can get there. And we have convinced ourselves that we can make it on our own. But again, following the words of Jesus, let's go back to the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7. This is where we find the golden rule. People like to live by this. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, you do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. The path is this. Enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. If your religion and your spiritual journey is wide and easy, you are headed for destruction. And those who enter by that way are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and few are those who find it. The call of the Christ follower is a narrow life. It is a narrow path. And Jesus said, it is hard. It is hard to stay that course because everything in society and everything in culture says, you are going the wrong way. You shouldn't have to live with those ridiculous restrictions on your life. This is what leads to life, though. But those who find it are few. He paints a very clear picture of what he means. The pathway that leads to life, wide and easy, leads to destruction. Narrow and hard leads to life. Most people aren't going to find the path that leads to life, because the path that leads to life is only found through Christ. This was the preaching of Acts chapter 4. It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Christ is the stone the builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given by men which we must be saved. We had some 20-somethings over to the house to play games during the freeze. Their pipes had frozen. Their apartment didn't have electricity. They were shivering. Young 20-somethings. I've got my music playing in the background. And Nathan says, "You have quite an eclectic playlist." I said, "Is that a compliment?" He's like, "Oh yes, very much so. I've enjoyed the music that we've been listening to." Well, some of the things on my playlist are classics. I have some Frank Sinatra on there. One song that's not on there is "My Way." And one of the reasons I've chosen not to download that song on my playlist is because it's just wrong. But it is an adopted philosophy. Frank says, "Now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain." My friend, I'll make it clear. I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full. I've traveled each and every highway. And more, much more than this, I did it my way. Yes, there were times, I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew. But through it all, when there was doubt, I ate it up. I spit it out. I faced it all and I stood tall and I did it my way. For what is a man? What has he got? If not himself, then he has naught to say the things he truly feels, and not the words of someone who kneels. Let the record show that I took the blows and I did it my way. Cardi B ain't the only one that's been writing bad lyrics. This is a philosophy of the very essence is anti-Christian. Jesus said, "I'm the way." He's the only path to follow that leads to eternal life. When he says something to do, we do it. When he says something to not do, we don't do it. The path to follow is pretty clear. I am the way. But Jesus also provides a principle to embrace, and that is the principle of his truth. Not only does he say he is the way, he says he is the truth. The world we live in is confused about truth right now. Barna Group concluded a survey not many months ago that says truth is increasingly regarded as something that is felt rather than something that is known. In other words, if it feels good or if it fits my narrative, then it must be true. And if it's true for me, then it doesn't have to be true for you. This is one of the reasons we argue over masks. This is one of the reasons we argue over vaccines. Because somehow in the midst of a legitimate crisis, we have lost the ability to pursue the truth, and instead we have politicized everything. If my political party has a particular stance or particular point of view on masks, then that cannot be true according to the other political party. The same is true about the vaccine. The same is true about lockdowns and shutdowns or having an open economy. We don't know the truth about any of this. We have derived our truth from what makes us feel good and what vilifies the other people. And as Christ followers, we should be repentant of that. Because we've based all of this on whether or not it feels right for us. And the people that are leading us don't ever give us the full story on anything. They only give us the story from their particular framework. And if your Christianity isn't strong enough to recognize that, then you are a babe desiring milk, not meat. We're confused about the truth. The truth is what we feel, not as what is. Truth is now considered totally relative and is no longer objective according to the Barna Group. We don't know who to trust. And so we trust our feelings. We trust our experiences. We trust things that we are passionate about. The Barna Group has labeled this a post-truth culture. 56% of Americans in general and 64% of those under 40 have very strong feelings about this when it comes to religion and religious texts. 56% of Americans in general, 64% of those under the age of 40 don't feel like there's any one religious text that has a monopoly on the truth, but that all religious texts are different expressions of the same spiritual message. As a result, we should seek faith combining all of the religious texts we can get our hands on, because we are determined that we should be spiritual, not religious, and we should love Jesus, but we should not love the church. In stark contrast, Jesus says, "I'm the truth," and His truth is exclusive. It is not found in any other text except this one. He is not one way of many. He is the way. And He is the truth. And this is universal. He's not claiming to be true for one segment of the population or one specific demographic. He's claiming to be the absolute truth for all people, everywhere, in all places, for all time. The world shouts, "Let me live my truth," and Jesus says, "I am the truth." Presidents sign executive orders saying, "Let them live their truths," and Jesus says, "I am the truth." No matter how rich or successful or religiously moral or upright or popular or powerful you are, you come to God through Jesus Christ or you do not come to God at all. You come to God through Christ, we don't come to God at all. It doesn't make a difference whether your truth is mathematical or scientific or spiritual. Real truth is always narrow. Real truth is always narrow. 2 + 2 = 4. The error is made when you try to broaden that or try to make that more accommodating. Kids, let me help you understand this. Next time you're online trying to take a test and your teachers work to get that test just so to extrapolate from you the knowledge that she thinks or he thinks it's important for you to have, and you fill in those answers with whatever you think your truth is, and you wind up and get that paper back, and that paper's got a 50 on it. And you tell your teacher, "Well, I just answered those questions based on my truth." And your teacher's going to tell you, "Well, the truth is you got a 50. People like the way it sounds, but then when you try to put it into practice, it doesn't work. And the irony of it all, which Doug would point out to you, is that if you make a statement and say, "There is no absolute truth," then you've just declared an absolute truth. Jesus is the truth. That means He excludes all error, no matter how popular or widespread or unpopular, no matter how ancient or new and relevant or convincing the arguments may be. If it doesn't line up with the truth of Christ, then it doesn't line up. And time doesn't change that. Generations don't change that. Governments don't change that. Jesus says it. That settles it. It rules out all other possibilities. And it demands that all people everywhere repent of their wrong ideas and come to Him. We all have different stories. We all have different backgrounds. We all have different experiences. There are many paths that lead us to the point of trusting Christ. But they all lead to the same point. And that is the point of trusting Christ. The world would like you to believe that We're all taking different paths, but we're all going to wind up in the same place. It's a wrong argument. It's a wrong fallacy. Jesus said, all of the other roads lead to destruction, but there's one that leads to life, and that's me. I am the truth. I am the way. There's a path to follow. His name is Jesus. There's a principle to embrace. His name is Jesus. He says, I am the way, I am the truth. But Jesus says, there's a promise to receive. I am the life. So you walk in the way and you practice the truth, and I will give you a life. I will give you a life here, and I will give you a life in the hereafter. He is the life in the midst of virus and violence and vitriol. Jesus says, I am the life, and this is a promise for us to receive. The word life here is very important because the word life in the Gospel of John is used in one form or another 56 times in this particular Gospel. He starts out by saying in John chapter 1, verse 4, in Christ or in Him was life, and that life was the light of mankind. The word means life to the full. The word means life with vitality and vigor. It's abundant more than it is extensive. Jesus says that He is the life, and He doesn't want us to understand that we exist simply to exist, but that one day we will live with Him eternally. And so there's a life here, and there's a life that is to come. And both of those lives are to be lived to the fullest. And it almost sounds like an ironic conundrum. Because on one hand it says, the way of life is narrow, and it is hard. But this is what leads to abundance. You want spirituality? Then live the narrow, live the hard. The scripture is full of paradox. The last shall be first. The slave shall be free. The first shall be last. The last shall be first. The narrow, hard life is the abundant life. And He is that life, both in the here and in the hereafter. Choosing a life that leads to blessing has always been God's way, but you have to choose the life that leads to blessing. It is up to you. And so as we come to the end this morning, let me ask you to choose, like Moses did millennia ago. He writes in Deuteronomy chapter 30, today I have given you a choice between life and death, between blessing and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice that you make. I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. Jesus says, I am this life. Choose me. Make the choice. In the midst of virus and violence and vitriol, Jesus says, I am vitality and vigor and victory. I am the life. This is the promise for you to receive. There's a path to follow. His name is Jesus. He's the way. There's a principle to embrace. His name is Jesus. He is the truth. There is a promise to receive. His name is Jesus. He is the life. I'd like to introduce you to Him today. And so we're going to pray together. We're going to stand. We're going to sing. I'll be standing down at the front for a minute or two. If you'd like me to introduce you to Jesus, just come ask and I'll begin with you that journey. Would you stand? Pray with me. Father God, we come to you this morning and ask that we understand the irony of the narrow path. That we would embrace the very narrow focus of your statement that said, you are the way, you are the truth, you are the life. Father, some of us are hurting so bad in this place this morning because we have decided that we're going to be like Frank Sinatra and do it our way. And it continues to leave us tired and disappointed. Help the one that is struggling to let go this morning. Give them the mercy and the courage to say yes to the way, the truth, the life, the Christ. Amen.